Hi, my name is Kathleen, and I have a new life in Christ, and I struggle with fear of man and not trusting God's goodness. Okay. Growing up, my two sisters and I watched the pain and rejection that my dad's infidelity brought my mom. Unknowingly, all three of us made decisions that we would never allow ourselves to be treated this way because we did not want to feel the type of pain and rejection. However, we all lived that out very differently. As I look back over my life, there has been an unmistakable presence of God during difficult situations, even though I didn't realize it at the time. My aunt and uncle were strong believers in Christ and would frequently come over to my house trying to intervene in my parents' marriage. Because of their presence and constantly sharing the gospel with my parents during their troubles, I too heard about Jesus. And in third grade, I became a Christian. I understood that Christ paid for the penalty of my sin on the cross so that I could have eternal life. But for many years, I didn't have anyone to help guide me in growing my relationship to Christ. However, looking back, there were times the presence of the Holy Spirit was very evident. God placed people in my life that would introduce me to Young Life and church. I didn't know how to deal with the pain that I felt in my family, and I never talked with anyone about my struggles. I feared what others would think of me and my family, so I worked at making myself look good through accomplishments and actions, and I developed a way of surviving that if I was accomplished and appeared to be good, be a good person, then people would assume everything was fine and not ask me about my life. When I left for college, this way of living became really easy as no one knew my family. I quickly realized how to wear a mask and that I could present myself to others however I chose to. While I didn't make up lies about my family, I intentionally left out all the pain and struggles I experienced. I immersed myself in Young Life and I became a leader. As I look back now, I know that what I craved was the approval of others in order to feel valued. I definitely preferred the image of a person who had it all together. The pain I experienced for some of my family's choices would, of course, follow me to college, even though I tried to run from it. Like phone calls telling me about my sister's admittance into a drug treatment center, or that my dad, who had refrained for many years, had another affair. I wouldn't tell anyone of these things, because I didn't like the reaction people gave me when I told them. I had no idea I was running from the very story God had given me. Henry Nouwen identifies the three lies of identity that we may believe about ourselves. I am what I do, I am what I have, I am what others think of me. And I believed all three of those lies. Over the years, God was at work in my family, even through some very difficult times. After 25 years of marriage, my parents got divorced. In the following years, my dad fell deeply in love with Jesus and asked my forgiveness for how he treated my mom. And about 11 years ago, my sister, who had been estranged from our family, was arrested for dealing drugs. Yet my dad and I were the first people she called. After some court proceedings, my sister eventually was allowed to live with my dad until her trial. And several months later, she ran away and we got the call that she had been found murdered in Juarez, Mexico. There's a long story of Jesus' incredible pursuit of my sister during this time, but I know this is the time I need to share my story. I would grieve the death of my sister, but in reality, the sin problem of finding my identity and what other people thought of me had been so intricately threaded throughout my life, and it was still there. Whenever I would tell people that my sister had been murdered, I felt their expression would change, and it appeared that they became uncomfortable. So I learned to avoid telling people what happened to her to protect myself from their reaction. And with encouragement from my community group and friends and my husband, I eventually went to counseling. I shared the story of my sister's death on my first appointment, and I waited for the shocked look that I had gotten so many times before on my counselor's face. But she never gave me a shocked look. She compassionately said to me that my fear of man, which is the fear of what others thinking of me, had stopped me from fully grieving my sister's death. A light bulb went on for me, and God removed the blinders from my eyes. And all of a sudden, I was able to look back over my life, and I could see how often I had allowed my fear of man to control my thoughts and behaviors. This realization was so freeing, but I wasn't sure how to live any other way. I had learned these survival skills a long time ago, and I didn't know how to change them. Thankfully, God had placed friends in my life, and with their encouragement again, I decided to go through Regen. I had never felt more normal in my life than the first night I walked into this room. I was in a room with people who knew that we were all broken and in need of a savior. I didn't have to pretend to have it all together. One of the most powerful things for me when I started Regen was actually just introducing myself. I had spent most of my life introducing myself with what I did or had, but at Regen, our introductions start with acknowledging that we have a new life in Christ and that we all have struggles and problems. And going through my inventory in step four was very impactful for me. I learned that what I idolized in my life was self-protection, and anything that we put above God will not serve us well. Fear of man is asking yourself who or what controls you, whose words or whose eyes control your decisions and thoughts. Going through the steps of Regen helped me to identify the reason behind my fear of man. I was looking to protect myself from rejection and pain. I love Deuteronomy 31:8 because it communicates to me that the Lord goes ahead of us and knows what we need before we even know ourselves. The verse says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you nor abandon you." God knew that I would co-lead a group of incredible women who inspire me every Monday with my co-leader, Nancy, who I didn't know initially, but I now consider a dear friend. It's such a privilege for me to stand before you today as God reminds me that he wrote my story and I am to glorify him with it. God relentlessly pursues us even in our sin, and because of his unashamed love for us, Jesus is pursuing you now, or you wouldn't be here. Jesus is already passionately in love with you and wants to be with you. The three lies that I mentioned earlier that I believed about my identity, I now say in a new way. It's three truths, and I've added a fourth. I am not what I do. I am not what I have. I am not what others think of me. I'm a beloved child of a loving creator. My name is Kathleen, and I have a new life in Christ. And I struggle with fear of man and not trusting in God's goodness. Thank you.